I think the typical mindset about heaven is that it's going to be great. We hear it's going to be great. I think it's going to be far greater than you can ever fathom. First of all, like you start there. But then I think in I love worship, but I think people think you're just going to sing all day. You're just going to worship. Now, you'll probably want to sing all day, but there's so much to heaven. Basically, take the best thing you could ever think of in life, and it's so many millions of times beyond that, right? Would that be a fair way to say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just think of all the things. It's interesting because I had a professor from a Bible college that I went to, one of my very favorite professors, who took me out for coffee after the Heaven book came out because he had some real problems with it. And he said, Andy, you say in your book that, like on the new earth, that we may, and I do say may, I don't say for sure because I don't know the details of it, obviously, but that we may like ride bikes and go swimming. And then his response was, when we're in the presence of Jesus, who would want to ride a bike? We're just going to worship him. We're just going to glorify him forever. I said, I totally agree. We're going to worship him and glorify him forever. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, even now in this present life, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, isn't it interesting that he takes two of the most basic things in life, eating and drinking, basic sustenance for your body, and also the relational implications of being together, eating and drinking. So do it all to the glory of God. Well, if we can eat and drink at a banquet, at a dinner table, and laugh and do all that to the glory of God now, and don't we all agree that we can? How much more will we do it all to the glory of God in eternity? In other words, don't restrict worship and glorifying God only to looking at God and singing songs. It's way more than that. It includes that. I mean, I'm sure we will do wonderful, incredible, as we see in Revelation, we see even these living creatures along with the people of God, the angels, worshiping him. It'll be glorious, people of every tribe and nation and language worshiping him together. But it also talks about, at the end of Revelation 21, the kings of the nations of the earth will bring their treasures into the new Jerusalem. Why are they bringing their treasures in? Well, presumably to lay at the feet of Jesus, who is there in the new Jerusalem on the throne. It's like paying tribute to the king. You know, he's our king. And so we're going to make things. We're going to do art to his glory, compose music to his glory, write books to his glory, serve him, explore the new heavens, which is the new galaxies, the new universe, to his glory. I don't think that's any stretch at all, unless we believe that we're no longer going to be human beings. No, what we should think in terms of it is we will be human beings far better than human beings have ever been, who are not experiencing suffering and who will never experience death and who will learn and grow forever in our knowledge. How do we know that? Number of ways. One is Ephesians 2:7 says, in the ages to come, God will be revealing unto us the riches of his grace and kindness to us in Christ Jesus, meaning we will learn more and more of his grace and kindness, and I take it all of his attributes forever. He is infinite. We will never even begin to exhaust his attributes and the reasons to praise and glorify him. And the new created world, if this old created world, I mean, Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, he's talking about an earth that's under the curse. If this earth is full of the glory of God and we can see his handiwork, and we can worship God and see God, as Romans says, through the things that he has created, even here and now, in a world under the curse, what will happen when there's no more curse? No more curse means no more cancer. It means no more death. It means no more depression, no more anxiety, no more all these things. But not only does it mean the absence of the bad things, it means the presence of the great things. So all the pleasure we take in life, in eating and drinking and friendship and sports and all kinds of activities will be ours in a redeemed world where sin and suffering will never tarnish it again.